It's 3 p.m. in Salt Lake City. Can you just imagine the scramble that's going on at home with those trying to decide which channel and station to tune in on? Being somewhat interested in sports myself, I couldn't help but think as I was sitting here about some wise counsel my father once gave. I think it's appropriate here. Paul, he said, remember, one day for church, 6 days for fun. Odds on going to heaven, 6-1. He also made this observation. He says, whenever I pass our little church, I like to linger for a visit, so that when I'm carried in, the Lord won't say, who is it? One day, while celebrating one of my granddaughter's birthdays, I had her sitting on my lap like grandfathers do, and we were talking about age and wisdom and experience. And all of a sudden, she looked up at me and said, Granddaddy, were you born before they invented water? Well, speaking of age, someone else has said, do you know how to tell when you're getting a little older? I said, no. He says, you'll know you're getting old when after you get it all put together, you realize you'd do better if you took it apart. When you get a little winded while brushing your teeth. When you reach the age when you know all the answers, but nobody asks any of the questions. He said, when your crow's feet need orthopedic shoes. When your appendix scar hits your knee. When instead of Max Factor, you may want to consider Kimtone. While sitting in a rocking chair, you have difficulty in getting it started. When you get out of the shower, you're glad it's all fogged up. When you get up in the morning and you have one shoe on and one shoe off and you can't tell whether you're getting up or going to bed. Well, you may have some different signs, but despite our best plans and efforts, growing older is going to happen to most of us. Now, those mature years can be spent. How they are will depend on every one of us. To those in their golden years, age should be only hateful if it means the cessation of growth, the withering of dreams, the silence of feelings. And these qualities, after all, have nothing to do with chronology and everything to do with our heart. Douglas MacArthur once observed, live with enthusiasm. Nobody grows old by deserting their ideals. Years wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. You're as young as your faith, as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, as young as your hope, as old as your despair. History abounds with people who, as they got older, got better. Michelangelo didn't undertake his monumental frescoed altar wall of the Sistine Chapel until he was 69. When he died at 90, he was still busy with his poetry, paintings, and sculpture. Goethe, German genius of literature, didn't finish the classic Faust until he was 81. He had begun it 40 years earlier, but when he came back to it, he had enhanced insight, freshness of imagination, due to the extra years of his life. Herbert Hoover took on the job of coordinating the whole world's supply at the age of 72. He was the United States representative to Belgium at the age of 84. Thomas Edison was still inventing when past 90. Benjamin Franklin was a key political figure and a wise, insightful diplomat for America when past 75. My own mother, now past 85, still paints in gardens. Her paintings are sought after classics. Moses was over 80 when he led the Israelites. Think of the great spiritual contributions of our past prophets and those of present Kimball today. Winston Churchill was 65 when he promised the British people his blood, toil, tears, sweat during World War II. Albert Schweitzer was in his 80s when roaming equatorial Africa, tending the sick, working on his manuscripts. playing Bach on the piano. Now, you might have a tendency to say that these people were and are extraordinary, gifted in ways beyond the average. But I say unto you, the most extraordinary talent each of these had was enthusiasm, a flair for taking each new day with relish and interest, and a refusal to let wastelands of the soul develop and choke out our life. Ralph Waldo Emerson put it this way. He says, "We do not count a man's years until he has nothing left to count." To those who have been privileged by the experience of having aging parents and grandparents with them, think of the countless ways they bless our lives. You remember the admonition of the Lord, first from Proverbs. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. Next from Job, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. And then there is this concern recorded in Psalms. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Many is the time in my current position where those in their advanced years have sought counsel in getting their families to share and take an interest. I remember reading of such an experience, which I just share briefly. This item was found in an old magazine. No author's name was mentioned, just a heavy-hearted observer. He said, "Just next door lives a wonderful old man. He's still very alert and active. That special morning he awakened earlier than usual, bathed, shaved, put on his best clothes. Surely he thought they would come today. He didn't take his daily walk to the gas station to visit with the old-timers of the community because he wanted to be right there when they came. He sat on the porch with a clear view of the road so he could see them coming. Surely they would come today. He decided to skip his noon nap because he wanted to be up when they came. He had 6 children. 2 of his daughters and their married children lived within 4 miles. They hadn't been to see him for such a long time. But today was a special day. Surely they would come today." At supper time, he refused to cut the cake and asked that the ice cream be left in the freezer. He wanted to wait and have dessert when they came. About 9 o'clock, he went to his room and got ready for bed. His last words before turning out the lights were, "Promise to wake me when they come." You see, it was his birthday, and he was 91. In our modern age of sophistication and progress, I find it a little disturbing that the old expression, "age before beauty," seems to have been reversed. Never before has there been so much emphasis on youth and beauty. While youth and beauty are cherished attributes, age and experience can be tremendous assets. And while our computer age technology has been unsurpassed at lengthening and enriching the lives of older citizens, I'm not so sure it has replaced or improved the personal touch. In the scriptures I've just cited, 3 important conclusions can be drawn. First, there are advantages to old age. Second, we can learn from the wisdom and understanding that age and experience offers. And third, older folks are able, productive, and useful and should not be put on a shelf. To those who wonder if we have an obligation to bring these conclusions to pass, the Lord's answer to Cain's question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" is a resounding yes. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The final question, I suppose, then, ought to be, how are we going to accomplish this? Could I suggest with older friends and family, why don't you and I first seek their counsel, visit or call on them regularly, include them in our activities, let them share their experiences, see to it that they have the basic necessities of life, provide care for them when they're sick, treat them as dignified human beings, not as charity cases. Let us take advantage of having parents, grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandparents, friends, and neighbors around us. May we, in our own special way, reach out to them, not with pity, but with love. Consider again, brothers and sisters, this counsel from the Lord. Honor thy mother and thy father, that their days and ours might be long upon the earth. Finally, may we do unto the aged what we would want to have done to us. Remember, our time is coming. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.